السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. All praise, all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yet again has given us this beautiful opportunity of gathering in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah in the Mubarak month of Ramadan. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great opportunity, and we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows us to see many, many more days of Jumu'ah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows us also to see many, many more Ramadans, and we also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes it such that our last day of our earthly life is this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. When a person sets out to do anything, there's an objective. For example, a person left his home, coming to the masjid. The object was for him to come to the masjid to perform the Jumu'ah Salah and then to return. So this was his objective. Like that, you find a person that is learning the Quran Sharif to become a Hafiz. The objective is to complete the Hifz of the Quran. Like that, you find a person that is traveling from here to go to Makkatul Mukarramah. The object is either to go for Hajj or to go for Umrah. So a person has some objective in mind. Similarly, this Mubarak month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed fasting for us. And Allah ta'ala is explaining one of the objectives of fasting. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That fasting has been prescribed for you, like how it has been prescribed for those before you, so that you may obtain taqwa. Now the things of this world we can see, we can gauge, we realize a man starts off a business, his objective is to make profits, not to make losses. No person starts off a business to make losses. He starts off a business to make a profit. A person works to earn a salary. He doesn't work so that he has to give a salary, but to earn a salary. But now here, these things we can measure. There's a gauge. After a month, 2 months, after 12 months, after the financial year end, a person can work out to see how much profit I made, how much loss I made, how much income did I get, how much loss, how much savings do I have? So there's different ways of working it out. But this taqwa, which is the objective of this month of Ramadan, how do we see, how do we calculate, are we achieving taqwa in this Mubarak month of Ramadan? This objective that this month is there for us to achieve, are we achieving it or are we losing it? So here also there are certain ways, there are certain signs, there are certain things that a person can gauge to see that he's getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You look in the life of Sahaba, you'll find, I'll just speak about one Sahabi, a great Sahabi, Hazrat Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu anhu. Perhaps there was no other youngster in Makkah Sharif that was pampered, that was spoilt by his parents like how Hazrat Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu anhu was. So he was a youngster, dynamic, brilliant, charming. He had all the things that a youngster could wish for in terms of wealth also, in terms of his style, in terms of his ways, in terms of his intelligence. So he was a youngster in Makkatul Mukarramah, and at that time, the morning and the evening of Makkah Mukarramah was buzzing with the talk that there is a person that is claiming to be a Nabi, Al-Amin Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he is reading divine inscriptions to the people, and he is gathering with a few people at Mount Safa in a home of Arqam radiallahu anhu, that was famously known as Darul Arqam. So this was the chat. Now he was an intelligent young person, so wealthy, so pampered he was by his parents. It is said that when the perfume sellers, normally perfume is very, very expensive. Sometimes we don't realize, we just buy one atar from the shop, 100 rand, 200 rand. These can run into hundreds of thousands of rands, into millions actually, itars can run into. Anyway, the perfume sellers would come, and the first stop they would make was by Hazrat Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu, knowing how he liked his dressing, he liked his perfume, he liked his style, the typical want of a young person at that time. And even now also you'll find youngsters, they like their dressing, they like their cars, they like their ways. But anyway, Hazrat Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu, he was very keen, very interested to see what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his few companions were doing. But he had, remember at that time, there was, so to speak, there was spies and informers on every street of Makkah al-Mukarramah, people looking to spy to see who is doing what. So he made his way and he spent time there with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He heard what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to say. He heard the beautiful Quran from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His heart was throbbing with excitement. Excitement, ecstatic at these words of the Quran. Allah Ta'ala save us and forgive us that how much Quran we listen to, how many talks we listen to, how many months of Ramadan, how many years in we see Ramadan coming and going, but yet it makes no difference to our life. This first encounter he had with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that heart was throbbing. Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam took his hand and put it on the chest, on the heart of Hazrat Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu. Immediately he felt a sense of tranquility, a sense of serenity, and he was accepted the message of Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and a complete change had come into his life to such an extent that all the noblemen of the Quraysh, all the wealthy people, all the powers of the Quraysh meant nothing in front of him anymore. It doesn't mean anything to me. What Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes with, that means everything to him. But he had one hurdle, one problem, that his mother, Khunnas binti Malik, she was a very powerful woman. She was a very forceful woman, a lot of authority she had. And there was no way that she is going to allow her son to give up the worship of the idols, to give up their old ways. It was almost impossible. So he decided on a plan that what I will do is I won't announce my Islam. Secretly I will go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. However, there was a person by the name of Uthman ibn Talha. Later on he accepted Islam radiallahu anhu, but at that time he had noticed that Hazrat Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu is going, and he had seen him also performing salah, like how the Muslims were performing salah. So the conclusion was already there that he has accepted Islam. When this had happened, now the noblemen of the Quraysh, his own people and his mother also was there. Now in front of all of them he testifies that he had accepted Islam. Now clear. But what did his mother do to him? That youngster that was pampered with all sorts of luxuries, she gets him shackled and chained one side of the home, puts guards there to look after him so that he cannot escape. Now in his mind he knew that this is what the Muslims were going through, that difficulty, that hardship. But yet their love and their commitment did not stop them from giving up Islam. So when he heard that the Muslims were making hijrah to Abyssinia, so he made a plan slowly when the guards were not aware and when they were not looking. So he escaped and he went with them. They took the boat via the Red Sea and they went to Abyssinia. And then, but the desire was how we can be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala make it such that our desire also is how we can be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah. And the way to do it is to bring the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives. So anyway, they heard the message had come that now things have eased off in Makkah al-Mukarramah. So he had come, and when he had come to Makkah al-Mukarramah to spend time with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his mother again now tried to make it a point of shackling and chaining him and detaining him, because she couldn't accept that her son here is accepting a new Islam, a new deen, a new way of life. So what had happened was, he told his mother at this point, now he made it very, very clear. He said, you bring any person to detain me, I will kill every single person. I won't allow any person to detain me. And as far as our connection and our taluk is going, that also now is terminated. She terminated, so she decided to terminate her relationship with her son. She saw that determination of Iman, which was a spark that every Muslim had, that when Islam was in front of them, it doesn't matter who came in front, it doesn't matter what forces came in front, what enemies came in front, what tortures came in front, it meant nothing to them. It was Islam or nothing. So what had happened was, he made it a point, but before he could leave his mother, he whispers into her ear and he says, oh my mother, I would like for you to accept Islam. I would like for you to be saved. It was his worry and concern that his mother must also get saved. But she was very, very forceful in her ways. She takes an oath in the stars, that she will, in the shooting stars, that she will not accept Islam. Anyway, moving on, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made him the envoy. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made him the ambassador to Medina Sharif. We all go to Medina Sharif and we're so excited that Medina is such a beautiful place, so peaceful, so calm, so beautiful, the reading of the Quran Sharif is there. But little do we reflect that who was the first envoy sent to Madina Sharif, who prepared that ground of Madina Sharif that we all enjoy. And when we go also, a person goes and he visits the Shuhada of Uhud, you'll find that they are two prominent, every Sahabi was a prominent Sahabi, but two were extra prominent. One was Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu, and one was Hazrat Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu, whose qabrs are found there at Uhud. Anyway, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at that time there were only 12 people that had pledged allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would come on the annual pilgrimage. So at that time only 12 people. Now we go, the place is full of Muslims and so much of love and so much of muhabbat. But at that time only 12 people had pledged. But he goes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him. Although there were people that were more senior to him in age, there were people that were more closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose this young man, that you go to Madina Sharif, you give dawah towards Islam, and you prepare the ground for other Muslims to come, for that ground that will be the springboard for Islam spreading throughout the world. So he goes and he makes an effort. A Sahabi by the name of Sa'd ibn Zurara radiallahu anhu, he was his host, and together they go and they start working on the poor people. In the poor people, they go door to door, gush, they go working, and many people started accepting Islam. Now even the noble people were getting worried in Medina. The time it was known as Yathrib, that they were getting worried, what is happening? So a leader of one of the tribes there, by the name of Usayd ibn Hudayr, that time he did not accept Islam. He came there angry, very, very angry. He came with a spear and he addresses and gives a warning to Hazrat Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu and his host Sa'd ibn Zurara radiallahu anhu. He says that I'm giving you all a warning that you'll stop speaking to the innocent people and converting them. You'll stop this or this will be the end for you all. So Hazrat Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu, a young person, come. He had the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, I make a proposal to you, that you listen to what we have to say. If you like it, you accept it. If you don't like it, then we won't let you hear any more further than what you are listening. So he says, that's a fair proposal. And he listens. And immediately when he listens to the da'wah of Islam and he listens to Quran, his heart also gets affected immediately. This is the power that we've got in our deen. This is the power we've got in Quran. Allah Ta'ala forgive us and save us. Sometimes in Taraweeh we get tired of listening to Quran. There's so much of power in Quran. We should desire that we want to listen more and more. He listened to a little bit of Quran and he said, how do I accept Islam? So he's told, now you need to take a bath. You need to purify yourself. You need to take the Shahada. So he goes, he takes a bath, he takes a ghusl. He comes and he reads Shahada and he reads 2 rakats of Salat. Immediately he's affected, one of the leaders there. And then he says, after me, I can speak to someone else who's also a leader here in Madina Sharif. And if he accepts, then many people will accept. So he said, his name is Sa'd ibn Mu'az. So he also was spoken to, and immediately he accepts. And then after him was Sa'd ibn Ubadah, radiallahu anhu, also accepts. Now the people of Madina are surprised that these great, great people are accepting. So they all come to listen, and many, many people accept Islam. Look how Islam spread. It started spreading from the poor, working amongst the simple people, and then automatically Allah Ta'ala brings the rich people. Sometimes in our misunderstanding, we think that we have to focus our efforts, our attention on the wealthy, on the businessmen. We have to have dinners for the businessmen and have special speakers to come and speak to them. But the style of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah al-Mukarramah, here in Madinah al-Munawwarah, he started working with the simple people. Later on, that is a sign of ikhlas and sincerity. Later on, Allah Ta'ala brings the rich and the wealthy. So anyway, just to terminate, we don't have too much of time. Hazrat Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu, now he comes with 75 people on the annual purpose. Before 1 year can finish, he brings 75 people who come and they pledge allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That, oh Rasulullah sallam, you come to Madina Sharif and we will defend you at all costs. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells them that if you are firm in your faith, your reward is Jannat. Nothing of the dunya. Your reward is Jannat. That was enough for them. So anyway, they give that commitment to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He participates in the battle of Badr. When the battle of Uhud came, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had appointed him to hold up the flag of Islam. And he did it with what such great valor, such great love. What had happened was, those 50 archers that were mounted there on the mount, on that mountain that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, famously known as Jabal Rumat, where the archers were told, the 50 archers were told, that you all protect that flank so that people don't come from the side and come behind the Muslims and attack the Muslims. So one attack from the front, one's coming around from the back. You people ensure that that flank is now guarded. But in the misunderstanding that they had, they thought the battle was over, the Muslims had won, so therefore they came down. We know the incident, a long, lengthy incident, Khalid bin Walid, radiallahu anhu, at that time was not a Muslim, so he brings the army and now the Muslims are attacked from the rear and attacked from the front. But look at his commitment to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He saw that now their aim was to finish Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam off. So what he had done was he holds his sword with the right hand, he holds the flag now with the left hand, he shouts takbir and he goes in defense of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some people were saying that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is already martyred. He kept reciting these words, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرَّسُولُ. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is only but a messenger. And before him many, many messengers had come and they had passed away. That he's, in other words, my commitment is to Allah right till the end. That even if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala has taken him away now, my commitment is there to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he wanted to defend and still defend Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His right hand is chopped off. And now what he does is he holds this flag only with his left hand. And now the left hand is chopped off. Now he takes the flag of Islam and he holds it with the stumps of his two hands. But he did not want the flag of Islam must fall. Eventually a spear comes and penetrates his stomach and then he falls like that. Ulama say that he fell on his face. In other words, to show that I'm ashamed to see that my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can get attacked. Or perhaps that he couldn't even allow his eyes to go to that moment where the possibility of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam getting attacked. That was his firm desire to protect the deen of Allah ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq. We are in our weak time, in our weak moments. We are unable to do so much, but at least in this Mubarak month of Ramadan, the least we can do is give up sins and give up guna. They gave up everything, the lavishness, they gave up the Makkah Sharif, they gave up their friends, they gave up their status that they had. The least we can do, at least make this niyat in this month of Ramadan, is we can give up sin and we can give up guna. This is the taqwa that we are asked to gain in this Mubarak month of Ramadan. May Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. As we know, the last 10 days are also coming. We should try and increase and have a plan in place that this is how I'm going to spend my last 10 days so that it doesn't come and go and we get nothing out of this Mubarak month of Ramadan. Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil